This is the interview with Professor Yu-San Han on June the
17th, 1981.
没有关系，假如您，是的，这是历史的问题，有关系了，是。我就开始问这个有关social attitudes 方面的问题啊。 Professor Han, did you miss the place where you were born?
Did I live?
Miss. Did you miss the place that you were born?
Yes and no. Yes, because we all hope to see the land of our birth, mm-hmm. especially the city, mm-hmm. and the part of the city which has meant so much to my life. But in view of the tremendous changes, I don't know whether I would enjoy it, because a young friend who is well versed in Sanskrit, Mongolian, has just returned from Inner Mongolia after months of a lecture, and my letter was awaiting for him, and then he replied. He told me that my parents' tombs might have been transferred to somewhere else. Our land has become part of the Peking University campus. We have a piece of land near the Wo Fo Si, our Sleeping Buddha Temple, our western hills, and beyond Summer Palace and Jade Fountain. Mm-hmm. We had hoped that would become to make the land an Yin Yang Zhai. Yin and Yang. Yin is the tombs, mm-hmm. and Yang the living. The living and the passed away. So part of it is for my parents, and part of it will be living there, mm-hmm. especially at that time, 1930s, a friend of ours across the street had running water, artesian well with a water tower, says we can let you have water without any problem. Mm-hmm. So we had anticipated until Japanese occupation, but there was no problem of confiscation. Since the liberation, so to speak, then that became a problem, including not only the land, including my shares in the Renli Rook Company and my deposit in the Zhongfu Bank. So they had been taken over, but in the last year or two, I was told I better make applications to claim these. But my temperament is, what is the use? So small amount in contrast to what the life we are living, and let it go. So we didn't do anything about it. To go back there, to meet some, the younger generation of my friends, would not satisfy the entire desire.
Mm-hmm. Did you actually miss home more in the past, like say when you first came to the United States, more than now?
Thinking of home more than now? Mm-hmm. Oh yes. At that time, everything was the traditional China, and correspondences interrupted by the Second World War, but prior to that was normal. So all problems or books I ordered still came through. And I got a number of good books during that period of time while teaching at UCLA.
Did you associate most with Chinese or non-Chinese?
The first part, both Chinese and Westerners, mm-hmm. later, as time went on, more of Westerners, because we are in West Los Angeles, mm-hmm. in the Brentwood, Westwood, and Santa Monica areas, very few Chinese at that time. Mostly the leading Chinese are near, around USC, around Chinatown, mm-hmm. and certain areas Chinese occupied, purchased homes, but in the later years, more with Americans.
Mm-hmm. And did you associate with blacks as well as Chicanos and other minority people?
Well, outside of the classrooms, no. In classes, I have colored students, I have Chicanos, and from India, from other parts, other than China. But the outside of the classroom and some social relations, coming to the house for tea or for discussions in little groups. I provided that because I built a garage with a deck, so they can, after tea or after dinner, they can go up.
Have a little class.
Do their dances.
Oh, you mean?
They tried to teach me. I said, I'm too old to learn the new ones.
How about the back in 1926, when you, or 1928, before you returned back to China.
Yes.
You traveled to southern part of
yes.
the United States. At that time, did you meet with some other black friends?
Chiefly black, mm-hmm. and a few white leaders. Mm-hmm. The first center I visited, as I might have referred to, Tuskegee Institute. Mm-hmm. The chief inspirer is Dr. George Washington Carver, mm-hmm. the chief chemist. Mm-hmm. We have U.S. coins in honor of him and Booker T. Washington.
Mm-hmm. So how did you feel about being friends with them?
Oh, were you happy and a natural environment. And David Washington, the son of Booker T, took me around to see the rural side and the improvement through Tuskegee and the state extension. The state extension leader was very kind to me, took me further afield, but he said, well, I could do only as much to that limit. Beyond that, I'll be fired. So that's the discrimination or racial restriction. He was kind to all colored people in the rural areas. He showed me all the health improvement, especially I was interested upon returning to China. And economic improvement, China is far behind to copy anything they have started.
How were you received by these common people, like black residents or black farmers?
They were very kind. They just wondered what nationality I am. And when I was with David Washington, was all right. Very little curiosity shown. But when I was with Mr. Campbell, the state extension service, mm-hmm. People wondered how a white man, a leader, guided possibly a Japanese or Chinese. They don't know. Mm-hmm. They didn't ask the question. And I asked some simple questions, they answered, and I enjoyed them. Mm-hmm. Then from there, I traveled to Columbus, Georgia, with Mr. Moss. Mr. Moss came to Tuskegee to learn how to convert the peanut shells into cellophane, mm-hmm. so they could use the byproducts. You see, that's Thompson Peanut Candy Company. He was the chief chemist. They grew all the Chinese, different types of Chinese peanuts. they have a farm, and then they, I mean, the company uses the peanuts to make candies. When they learn the process of making cellophane bags from peanut shells, and they put a sign, "You can drink your peanut."
Mm-hmm.
So that was very interesting. And in Columbus, for fear of racial discrimination, Mr. Moss took me in for 2 or 3 days in their house. And he took me to Fort Benning and look at the military establishment. At that time, it was very simple. And any entry, no problem. Today is a big center with strict security. From there, I traveled back. I think I referred this to Atlanta, Georgia, and where my friend Willis J. King from Gaymount Theological Seminary came to meet me, and we chatted, and then I proceeded northward to New York, and then back to Boston. So that's my trip in the South. Well, while at Atlanta, or every station when the train stopped, I examined, I went to both the restrooms to see how poorly was kept for the colored. I mean, partly they were to blame, and the other, the white. So you have, and the trains, you have different sections.
Mm-hmm.
I rode most of the time with a white,
mm-hmm.
no problem. Mm-hmm. And then one time I want to have the experience, so I rode in
with
the what they call Jim Crow cars. So that was an experience.
Mm-hmm. Most of the time you have high official or the leaders in the community accompany you when you travel
yes,
around.
Yes, that
so
made the difference.
Mm-hmm.
If I travel with the common, less, lower, then I would confront more problems.
Mm-hmm. Most of the time when you are in the United States or you were in the United States, you were almost associated with the leaders. And
for instance, people after I gave a lecture in Brockton, Massachusetts, and the city attorney, James Handrihan, took interest. And another one is a banker in Randolph, a little town. A Mr. and Mrs. French, they took me in as a young friend. They were owners of the Randolph Private Bank. They have a summer home in Burnt Rock, ashore, and go in swimming. And I was taken to their summer home for the weekends often.
Mm-hmm.
And they have two daughters, and they were very good companions to go into the sand beach and to the water.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a happy occasion. Then James Handrihan, the city attorney, tried to influence a widow whose husband was a colonel in the army. And during the Boxer trouble, he went into the palace and different places, says he took a lot of the valuables, antiques. Before he died, he regretted, he gave to New Hampshire Museum. And he, this Mr. Handrihan, wants that to be returned to China. And discussed with me, I opposed that idea. Because China had plenty of these antiques with a section of this into a museum. In time, Americans will learn about Chinese cultural history. And also China has a little foothold in that museum.
Mm-hmm.
So I opposed the idea of trying to influence the widow to change the will or change the commitment.
Mm-hmm.
So I had very good visit with this lady, I don't remember her name, was very kind, and she said, I think the attorney's idea was good, but I said, I disagreed. I said, from my point of view, China has a foothold in a little museum, a little corner.
Mm-hmm.
Sometime may grow better.
This is a New Hampshire Museum or New Hampton?
New Hampshire.
New Hampshire.
I'll give to another state, I think.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
I don't know the reason they did that. Maybe he came from New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm. And you were, of course, highly respected by all these people,
well,
even among the leaders, because you were a scholar.
Yes, once I gave a talk to a group of the Matthewson Methodist Church. Then the minister was very kind, says, well, one Sunday we'll have you give the regular sermon and will be broadcast. That's the first experience I had. I had to speak to a tube of loudspeaker. That disturbed my thought a little bit. I'm not used to. And also with the thought, well,
how many
a lot of people would listen to this. Though I have my outline written in almost detail. I studied hard to follow that. So that was another experience in Rhode Island, Providence, Rhode Island. I visited the Brown University at the same time. So
how about when you come to Southern California, most of your non-Chinese friend are also the leaders of the community?
Yes, as a whole, you see. I said at first we had been friends since 1929, Dr. Theodore Chen and his wife. And we had a mutual friend, Earl Cranston, who brought us together in New York in the International House. We had lunch or we had other visits. So since then we have been friends. Then an attorney for immigration, Mr. Y.C. Hong, and Mrs. Hong and the family, we got acquainted. And then a Chinese, David Chow, unfortunately, recent years over the tax problem, he was prosecuted. He was chief architect for the Chinese Cultural Society. I mentioned that in contrast to the China Society of California, Southern California, of which I was a member and later board of directors and then president for 2 years. With that, I got more acquainted with the leading Chinese like Albert Kwan and Lily and Elmer Chao and his wife and Barbara Wong and let me see, and the American community, one man is still living and his wife, an Armenian descent, Haganian, and also to get acquainted one time with Mrs. Curtis Albro, Albro, A-L-B-R-O, and her husband is manager of a bank in Chinatown, must be Union Bank at that time, and they were quite pro-Chinese. She once was commissioner to the police department, the first lady I knew of as a commissioner. So she was good to the Chinese community. And then some of the school people, UCLA and USC, Dr. Chen, William Hummel, the uncle of Arthur Hummel Jr., who is ambassador to China today. When Arthur Hummel and Mrs. Hummel Sr. were at our house, we had pictures taken, and because my wife lived with them for a whole summer, 1925.
Mm-hmm.
And,
in China?
Yes,
mm-hmm.
In Shanxi province.
Mm-hmm.
And Arthur Hummel Jr., now the ambassador to China, was only 4 years old.
So you, when you visit, you actually visit them China, or your wife?
No, my wife was stayed for the summer for
right.
3 months.
Uh-huh.
On their way out to Peking and home, then I saw them in Peking.
Oh, you saw them in Peking.
In Peking,
oh,
yes, not
yeah.
in the interior. I have never been inside of Shanxi province.
Earlier you mentioned that you also are very close to Mr. Nixon's family and also Reagan's family. How did you get acquaintance
well,
with them?
Well, the Reagan's, I had twice lectured in Whittier College. They have an Institute of World Affairs. So one time I met Mr. Nixon. And let me see, three of us were speakers at the Institute. One is my friend and my teacher, Professor Sidney Fay, F-A-Y, mm-hmm. Harvard University History Department,
mm-hmm.
Sidney Fay. The other was Earl Cranston of Redlands University.
Mm-hmm.
As I mentioned before, he was my first and the chief American brother.
Mm-hmm.
And three of us, a small incident helped me in getting into UCLA because three of us had a picture taken, put on the front page in the LA Times.
Oh, when was this?
This is 1941.
Mm-hmm.
1941, July. So that's the first contact.
Mm-hmm.
Then later, Reagan, I have never met him personally,
uh-huh.
and though I served in Columbia Motion Pictures for 11 weeks,
mm-hmm.
and RKO for a short period of time,
mm-hmm.
and I wrote a song for MGM,
mm-hmm.
Let me see, another one, an independent production. Mr. Neufeld, that's all. All these were documentary films. RKO is more a fiction of Pearl Buck, China Sky.
Mm-hmm.
Then Columbia is originally the title was assigned to the Treasury. It's an international cooperation against narcotics. Second is the independent production. Technical color is from the State Department file. It's called State Department File 246 or something. That's just a fiction, fictional number.
Mm-hmm.
It's the depicting the Inner Mongolia revolt against Chiang Kai-shek.
Mm-hmm.
I had a collection of the local papers in Shanghai with the pictures of this revolt. So when I was asked to be the technical advisor, I showed the producer, and then we debated a little bit, argued a little bit about the payment.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, you think it over, I'll think it over. On the way, he decided, when I was on my way home,
mm-hmm.
by the time I got home, Mrs. Han said, Mr. Neufeld says tomorrow 9 o'clock be on duty. So I won't.
Uh-huh. So you working, you know, as an advisor for different films for 11 months?
No, 11 weeks for
11
Columbia,
weeks. Oh,
and
for Columbia.
1 week for RKO, and we'll say 2 weeks for the State Department file, the independent producers, and then. The song was boosting morale of the second, during the early stage, Second World War, 1942.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote this, it's called Private Jones.
Mm-hmm.
This was in different languages.
Mm-hmm.
I followed the same rhythm, same tune, wrote in Chinese.
Oh, I see.
And the music department leader at the MGM was Joseph Adam, and he close friends, and he said, "You should put this in Chinese. We have all kinds of languages." So mm-hmm. I did.
That was been around 50s or 60s?
No, no, that's 1942.
42?
Oh, yeah, it was boosting the war morale.
Uh-huh,
yes.
I see.
So America was still losing.
Mm-hmm. So actually you have a lot of opportunities to
deal with the... As I said, my life has been fortunate from childhood, though hardships and dangers, those were a good testing time and refining you.
Mm-hmm.
A rough iron and made into something like a steel.
I was curious about President Nixon. When you gave the lecture in Whittier, what was he doing actually?
He had just graduated that year, I think. And the close contact was later, 1952, was one of the Chinese so-called leaders pushing and advertising and pushing for him. I have a postcard and sent him a telegram, and he replied on the reverse side of the note with Mr. Nixon and Pat, where each one had their little daughters.
Oh.
That's 1952.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So 1972, I believe, or 1973, when Patricia was married and the ceremony in the White House, when it was finished, the president and the first lady was walking down taking the official photograph. I had a copy, all numbered. So that was very gracious of him. Meanwhile, President Johnson's book, the advantageous vintage, I guess. Let me see, I have to get the book. He autographed for me, so it was very nice. You want to get the exact title?
Sure.
All right, then I'll see. Another leading actress, later congresswoman, Helen Cahagan Douglas.
Mm-hmm.
When I was the commencement speaker at Chadwick School in Rolling Hills, she was the soloist.
Mm-hmm.
And I have the program, and we subsequently got acquainted.
Mm-hmm.
During my naturalization process, she worked very hard for me, but somehow the immigration office, I think, is twofold. I was delayed almost 5 years. One is the Writers' Congress 1943 was held in UCLA. Chinese Embassy Consul General warned me not to attend, saying that was controlled by the communists. But I say I'm willing to go to the lion's den to see what the may capture under the cup,
mm-hmm.
the Chinese proverb. And I'm not, would not be easily influenced.
Mm-hmm.
And I was asked to give a paper and participate in a panel.
Mm-hmm.
In that, they tricked me, the office of the Writers' Congress, dominated by communists,
mm-hmm.
and they put me as representing all the communist writers in China. So one day I was to appear, especially with a leftist, almost communist, Miss Phyllis Bentley of BBC,
mm-hmm.
and she was to speak first and I speak second, and a man patted my shoulder, say, "Sir, you represent those people?" I said, "No." I said, "Where did you get this? The first time I saw these." So the next day, I said, "Can I have it?" And he said, "No, you go to the central office." Oh, you know, rush and so on, I didn't do it. But I did report to the dean of UCLA, Gordon Watkins. He said, "You said, never mind. We understand you, no problem." You see, Gordon Watkins, the dean, is also a liberal.
Mm-hmm.
So that, no problem there.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is, I know Colonel William Carmichael, who was the district director of Immigration and Naturalization Service. He treated us royally to show us all the operations in his top floor and the radio constant contact with Washington. And then I failed in my protocol, did not call on the assistant director. So I was held up chiefly by him. And then 5 or 8 years later, an FBI representing immigration came to the house to see me over one of my former students who applied to serve in the Curtis Wright secret project. So he came 2 or 3 times. I said, related to immigration? He said, I know all about this, but I can't tell you what's all about. But I said, oh, what do you know about this Mr. Griffin or Griffiths? Oh, he said, he passed away last